Okay, let's unpack this. When we think about major public health threats, we usually picture traffic accidents, right? We see the billboards, we hear the sirens, we completely understand the systemic risks. But there's this silent epidemic claiming hundreds of thousands of lives globally every year, and it's completely flying under the radar. I mean, we're talking about drowning. So today we're doing a deep dive into the Western Cape's strategic framework for drowning prevention. Our mission is to uncover why this crisis is so neglected and, how data is finally being used to combat it.
Yeah, it is wildly overlooked.
Yeah.
And to solve a hidden crisis like this, you really first have to look at the raw data. What we find in this framework is that drowning isn't just, well, some random unpredictable tragedy.
Right. The patterns in the Western Cape over a 7.5 year period are incredibly specific. I mean, out of 1,473 fatal drownings, children under 15 account for over 30%.
It's a huge caution.
Yeah.
And the timing is highly predictable, too. We're talking summer, weekends, public holidays.
Yeah, specifically between noon and 7 p.m. But the stat that really stopped me in my tracks, for every one female who drowns, 4.4 males die. Wait, 4.4 males to every one female. Is there, like, a biological reason for that, or are guys just making terrible decisions near the water?
What's fascinating here is that the data points heavily to behavior. Males generally tend to, overestimate their physical abilities and take much bigger risks around water.
Ah, the classic invincibility complex.
Exactly. But there's a massive compounding factor fueling that risk, and that is alcohol. Research shows alcohol is involved in 30 to 70% of recreational boating and swimming deaths.
Wow, up to 70%. That's massive.
It really is. It severely impairs judgment, coordination, and, well, your ability to accurately gauge how dangerous the water actually is.
So, what does this all mean? If alcohol and overconfidence are driving these stats, telling a drunk 20-year-old on a hot Saturday to just be careful isn't going to work. So what's the actual safety net here? To me, it sounds a lot like car safety. You don't just teach someone to drive. You engineer the car with airbags and enforce speed limits, right?
That's a spot-on comparison. If we connect this to the bigger picture, relying solely on parental supervision or, like, personal responsibility is a flawed, unsustainable safety net, which is why this framework uses a multi-pronged approach called the four E's.
Okay, let's get into those. What's the first E?
The first E is engineering. This means physically removing hazards entirely. For example, providing piped water to rural communities. Mm-hmm. That way children don't have to bathe in, dangerous open dams.
Oh, I see. So you're taking the danger completely out of the equation before someone even gets near it.
Yes, exactly. Then there are environmental strategies. A really key one is mandatory four-sided pool fencing.
Now, I always see fences around yards, but a four-sided pool fence specifically isolates just the pool itself, right? Like between the house and the water.
Right, because a child's curiosity doesn't take a day off. A four-sided fence isolates the water completely, physically breaking that path. It acts as a vital compensation for human error.
Because humans get distracted. I mean, a parent checks their phone for 30 seconds, and that's literally all it takes.
Precisely. Which brings us to the third E's, education. But it's not just basic swimming lessons we're talking about here.
What else does it cover?
It's teaching bystander CPR skills. So the people who are already on the scene can intervene immediately, mechanically keeping someone alive until the medics arrive.
That makes so much sense. And the final E?
The final E is enforcement. This means implementing strict alcohol bans near water, and enforcing municipal safety bylaws to actually deter that risky behavior we talked about earlier.
It's a completely multi-layered safety net. And, this matters to you listening right now because it fundamentally shifts how you should view safety in your own environment. Whether you're a parent managing bath time or you're just spending a weekend at the beach, understanding these layered risks proves that safety is really a structural design issue.
Absolutely. It's not just about relying on common sense. Systemic barriers are vital compensations. We have to build environments that anticipate human error.
Right, because people won't always make the right choices. It really makes you look at your own world differently. If drowning isn't just a random accident, but a preventable systemic failure, it makes you wonder what other random accidents in our daily lives are actually just design flaws waiting to be fixed.